Let's come, Nigel. Can you position yourself behind this curtain? That'd be good. Myself and Joe, we've known Nigel for many, many years, and all the way back to Leeds when we were in the youth group in Leeds and doing youth stuff. Nigel was at Scarborough for quite a bit of a time, but also doing all kinds of stuff. He's been the head of our Ealing Movement's Bible College for 10 years or so, and as well as doing chaplaincy and all kinds of other stuff. So you're now a man of leisure. But come and leisure over us.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's what a fantastic church this is. I was so thrilled last Sunday to hear of those wonderful testimonies, amen, of people being transformed and changed and blessed. And I know you were taken up in the heavenlies, and it was a wonderful day. But then to hear what I've just heard about some of your men and women who were taking time to sleep outside in order to identify with the homeless and to just say, Lord, we really care. You know, I think both are important. Amen. I love one of my lifetime verses is Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, and it says this: God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and he went around doing good. Amen. He went around doing good, you know, caring for people. And Christians have to practically be an extension, don't they, of the love of God. Amen. Is that true? Does everyone agree with that? I was up in Newcastle of a year or two back, and I was to speak at a pastor's conference that day. And I'd gone into Tesco at 7:30 in the morning to buy a bottle of water and a sandwich for my long ride home that night. And at 7:30 in the morning, I just stood there, and there in the queue in front of me is a woman who has got her son has got Down syndrome. And I feel the Holy Spirit say to me, Nigel, invite that woman to have breakfast with you. Now I thought, Lord Jesus, I cannot do that. If I ask that woman to have breakfast with me at 7:30 in the morning in the Tesco queue, she's going to call security. She's going to say, we've got a madman in the place. So I didn't do that, but I spoke to her son and I said, hello, what's your name? And he said, Steve. And I said, hello, Steve, what music do you like? And he said, Elvis. And he started singing Blue Suede Shoes. So I joined in with him. And then I said to his mum, listen, would you and Stephen like to have some breakfast with me? And she said, yes. Wow. So what I remember about it is he wanted two chocolate eclairs for breakfast. So he'd probably be as high as a kite the rest of the day. But anyway, I bought them for him. And when I was passing the lady her toast, I said, you know, it must be a massive challenge looking after your son. And she said, oh, he's the love of my life. He's just had his 40th birthday, and there's not been one day in his life when I've not cared for him and taken care of him. I thought, wow. I said, you know what, you are a wonderful person. I said, my wife and I, we've had three children, and we've got six grandchildren. And I said, but it's been a challenge bringing up children. I said, does your husband help you? She said, well, he left me soon after Stephen was born. I said, wow, it's just great. So we were talking and having a conversation, and then after about half an hour, I said, listen, I haven't mentioned, but I'm a Christian. And would you allow me to just pray for you and Stephen before I go? Because meeting you has been the highlight of my day. I'm never going to forget you. She said this to me: nobody has ever asked to do that before. That's what modern Britain is like. You can live in Britain and get to the age of past 60, and nobody has ever asked to pray with you. And so I prayed with her, and then I told her about a great Baptist church that I knew very near where she lived. And I said, you go along to that church. They'll love you. Stephen will enjoy it. And do you know what? After about 35 minutes, this is what broke me up. I just reminded when your people team were just sharing their story. But at the end of that, she said, Nigel, thank you for talking to me. She said, sometimes I can go 2 or 3 days and nobody talks to me. I wonder if there's a lonely person in your street, in your office, on your commute into work, who maybe, could I ask you to just slow down a little bit? Can you slow down enough to buy a coffee for a homeless person? Or to buy Big Issue? Or just to say, I care. Your pastor says, I'm retired now. So I look after my grandchildren. I take them to school. I take my grandson's football training. And I've just built a tree house in the garden, in the tree, for the grandchildren. Our house is full of toys. And so we love spending time and investing time in our children. But I love cooking. I make fresh bread every day. I make it every day. I love doing it. I get it ready before I go to bed at night, and then I just cook it. But I don't make one loaf. I make 2, 3 loaves. In my street, they call me the baker. Because I just go and hand people. Do you know what it means to someone to just give a little gift to somebody? It just means the world. And I hope you're not one of those miserable Christians. I'm sure that I've never met any in Romford. They all live up in Birmingham, where I come from. You know, those Christians that have been baptized in vinegar, you know. I hope you're a joyful Christian. I hope you have some joy about you. I hope you're not miserable. I hope people love being around you because you're always encouraging them and blessing them and being positive. Amen? We need some positive people in the kingdom of God. Amen? We've got God is on our side, and I know life is hard. Oh, I can know life is hard. I won't tell you all my stories. I had a wife who had a very serious car accident. She broke her neck. She had, we call it hangman's fracture. When I left school, I was a plumber. The pastor introduced me as the principal of Regent's Theological College for 10 years, but really I'm a plumber. So if you've got problems with your drains, I'm your man. But ladies, it's bad enough breaking your neck, but having a plumber look after you for 4 months, that finishes it. But I'm so grateful that, you know, when I was going through that hard time, there were people that cared for us, or who brought hot food to the house, who just cared. You know, I've learned this, practical things mean the world. Don't tell me you're going to pray for me if you can't listen to me for 5 minutes. Don't tell me you're going to pray for me if you can't sometimes just give me a gift, or you can't bake me a cake, or you can't make me a meal. You see, sometimes people don't, it's sometimes when you're really struggling in life, you don't always need someone laying hands on you and praying in tongues over you for 30 minutes. You need a cappuccino. You need someone who will just listen. My wife and I are sat. This is really sad. I know you're sort of greater London metropolitan people. You're cool. You know, we're not cool where I come from. You know, my wife and I go to a park and we take, this is really sad. Rachel says you shouldn't tell anyone. I take a thermos flask. we don't even know what that is, do you? With some coffee in, and we do a crossword on the park bench. But we were doing it just last week, and my wife, there was a young mother with three little children trying to occupy her children in the park, and one of them was being a bit mischievous, and she was getting exasperated, and my wife didn't say anything, but after half an hour, she just went over to this young mum, and she said, do you know what, you are a wonderful mother, you're amazing, how patient you're being with your children, and you're looking after them, and you're caring for them. This woman started to cry. She said, I find it so hard at times. I haven't slept too well. I get hard. It's hard. I haven't got anybody to help me. And thank you for just saying that. Because sometimes I feel like I'm the worst mother in the world. Can we just as Christians go around our world a little bit more and like Jesus, do good? I hadn't planned to say any of this, so is that all right? But get it in your heart. That's what God wants you to do. And I see that spirit on this church. You love God passionately and you want to know Him, but you also love people passionately. That's what matters. Look, we're going to just think about Christmas if we can. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Hallelujah. Do you know, I think the biggest problem with so many Christians is not that we sin too much, but that we celebrate too little. Someone could have said amen then. You know, there is a sense we ought to be the most joyful people on earth. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and we ought to celebrate His presence. But it's so easy to get distracted by life. Jesus says we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our strength and with all our mind. He said we're to seek first the kingdom of God. But isn't it easy to get distracted? You know, distraction, it destroys faith, it destroys relationships, it destroys happiness. There's an inability to make commitment when you're distracted. People say, well, I want to keep my options open. I don't want to commit to one thing or one person and then find there's something better comes along. Distraction prevents us from thinking clearly. And we get confused. Distraction can stop us from resting. I think one of the things that many of us need to do is find more time to rest. Someone could have said amen then. And rest is so important. I'm not surprised that so many people have attention deficit disorder. We live in a wired world. It never stops. It's crazy. Churches are full of busy people who rush around doing stuff. We get busier and busier and busier until our lives stop making sense. We're like a paragraph with no punctuation, no space between the words. Like the Duracell bunny. Have you seen him on the TV? That's not how God wants us to live. And if I could, just for a few minutes this morning, I want to talk about the Christmas story to you. I'm really not surprised that some of my Muslim friends cannot believe what I believe. They cannot believe that God became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Some of my Jewish friends cannot believe the Christian story. And I think some of us as Christians, we don't think deeply enough about the Christmas story. It's extraordinary. I want to say three things to you this morning. I want to talk about the God who came closer than we thought possible. The God who comes closer than we thought possible. The God who went further than we could ever imagine. And the God who can use you more than you think probable. Can we do that for a few minutes? The God who comes closer than we thought possible, than we could ever imagine. The God who went further than we thought possible. And the God who can use us more than we could ever believe. Hallelujah. Listen, God wants to use you. In 2022, God wants you, lady, and you, sir, to come into a new level of God using you in a greater and more powerful and more profound way. You see, we can choose as we face Christmas. We can choose between the glory of God or a winter festival. Between the sacred and the divine or the sentimental. We can choose between celebrities, get me out of here, or we can believe in the Son of God. Where is our focus? You see, when we begin to read the Bible, you soon find out that we're not engaging with a God as a philosophical abstraction. We're encountering a God as a living, personal, speaking, active force in the world today. Hallelujah. You meet a God who fills the heavens and yet touches individuals. The God of the galaxy and the atom. The God who upholds creation but loves men and women. When Isaiah is trying to point out how great our God is, he says, he spans between Jupiter and Mars with the span of his hand. That's our awesome God. He is almighty. He spoke the universe into being. Glory be to his name. And he's the creator God who upholds the world. Yet, he's so awesome, but he's intimate. Hallelujah. But he'll stop by your house. He'll stop by your coffee table. He'll stop by you when you're walking in the park, and he'll listen to the cry of your heart because he loves you. Isn't that awesome? That you can have an audience with the King of Kings. The people who wrote the Psalms and the people who have sung them for centuries constantly celebrate this life-changing truth that God is with us. In Psalm 36, it says, God's love is meteoric. His love is astronomic. His purpose, titanic. His verdicts, oceanic. Yet in his largeness, nothing gets lost. Not a man, not a mouse slips through the cracks. How exquisite is your love, O God. How eager we are to run into your wings. Psalm 19 says, God's glory is on tour in the skies. Unspoken truth is everywhere. The revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. The signposts of God are clear and point out the right road. The life maps of God are right, showing the way of joy. The directions of God are plain and easy on the eyes. God's reputation is 24 karat gold with a lifetime guarantee. Hallelujah. The Bible says this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Hallelujah. When I was 14 year old, I was living not very far from here in Finsbury Park in North London. My dad walked out on us and left my mum with five children. I just had nothing. But someone introduced me to a man named Jesus, the Son of God. And I surrendered my life to Him. And I began to follow Him and serve Him and give my all for Him. And I used to go into the city and go and work for the homeless and give them food and care for them. And because God put His love in my heart. Amen? I don't care where you come from, but it's where you're going to that matters. Amen? And God is able to transform, hallelujah, and bring about change in your life. You see, some have a far away God who is too distant to help. Some have a pocket-sized God who is too small to help. But the Bible speaks of a God who is the awesome maker of heaven and earth and all that we see and don't see. And yet He cares passionately about the individual. You know, on your Christmas cards it will say, Emmanuel. That's a wonderful thing. It means God is with us. It means God is with me. The Bible says in Corinthians, it says, you are, if you're a Christian, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells with you. The Bible says the same God that raised Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead will quicken you. He's with you. Hallelujah. What a privilege. What a blessing. What a blessing. They call Him Emmanuel. You see, God is never came nearer to us than when He became one of us. One of us. Jesus understood. Jesus understands what it's like to be a refugee. Doesn't your heart break? He was a refugee. He fled to North Africa, didn't he, with his mother from a very hostile military regime that wanted to kill all the babies. And their mother and father, Joseph, fled to North Africa, to Egypt, in order to preserve his life. And people, millions around the globe, are still doing that today, fleeing. And we need to give them. But Jesus understands. Jesus understands what it's like to grow up with a single parent. Because it's in all probability his father died when he was just a young man. And he knows what it was like to grow up. He understands what it's like to hold down a regular job. He was a blue-collar worker, you know. He worked as a carpenter, a builder. He understands our life. And so when we come and bring our petitions to him, he knows what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like. That's why when he preached his first sermon, he could have spoken about anything, you know, some deep, complex theology. But he actually says, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to set the prisoner free. I've come to set at liberty those that are captive. I've come to open the eyes of the blind. I've come to announce the year of Jubilee. Hallelujah. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him, Christ the King. He came closer than we could ever imagine. Than we could ever imagine. My youngest little granddaughter, Bonnie Ray, was born 1 year ago. She's just been living with us and her mum for a year. And she's the joy of our lives. You know, something's precious about your grandchildren. And we just so enjoy her. I was there just the day she was born and held her. And I've held her and played with her. And she just brings such joy to my heart, all my grandchildren do. But you can imagine if you'd have crept into the stable and you'd have picked up this little newborn baby. Let me tell you five paradoxes about Jesus. Five paradoxes about Jesus. The first, you see, in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16, it says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You see, that's where your Muslim friends cannot cope with that. That's where your Jewish friends cannot cope with that. That's where your humanists or atheists, they cannot cope with that. God manifest in the flesh. First, let me tell you very quickly five things. Firstly, Jesus was so young, but so old. But so old. I said so old. You see, if you'd have seen him, you'd have said, how sweet, he's just a few hours old. Have you held a new baby who's just a few hours old? Just delicate little fingers and fingernails. And he was so young. And yet he's the eternal of days. Hallelujah. He is the one that created heaven and earth. He is the one without beginning and end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the eternal Son. What a paradox. He was not only so young and so old, he was so poor. And yet so rich. Ooh. When his mum went to dedicate him, the Jewish ceremony, if you were a rich family, you know, you had a Mercedes. If you were a rich family, you bought a big lamb. You bought a lamb to sacrifice. That was the custom of that day. If you were a poor family, you just bought two doves. Two little sparrows. Because you couldn't afford it. He was so poor. And yet so rich. If you'd have looked at him, you know, he couldn't even afford a hotel room. He was in a feeding tray. He was so poor and yet so rich. 2 Corinthians 8 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake and mine, he became poor. See, he identified with the have-nots. Hallelujah. So he hung out with lepers and people that other people didn't have time for. So he was so young and yet so old. He was so poor and yet so rich. Let me tell you something else. He was so small. Just tiny. 7 pounds. Tiny. And yet he was so great. He was so great. So great. The fact that the God of 30 trillion galaxies actually became the size of a pinhead in order to enter into Mary's womb and fertilize and become a child. Oh, this, if this doesn't blow your mind, nothing does. You haven't thought deeply enough about it. See, that's our God. That's our God. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The hymn, the carol singer, he said, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Let me tell you, that we're talking about the first advent. There's going to be a second advent soon. A second appearing when the Lord Jesus will come. And next time he comes, he will not come in swaddling bands and laying in a manger. He will come as King of kings and Lord of lords. And he will, every knee will bow. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. This is the God. This is the God. He was so small. Yet, let me tell you this. He was so mute. Bonnie Reyes just started to say her first words. Dada. doesn't seem fair that they always say dada, does it? Because it should, you know, mum does all the hard work and then they go and say dada. That doesn't seem real fair. But I don't know whether Jesus' first words were Abba. I don't know. But certainly as a newborn baby, he was so mute. So mute, yet so vocal. Imagine this. John chapter 1 says, the Word. The Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. Imagine the Word unable to say a word. Extraordinary. Imagine creator of heaven and earth, our awesome, mighty God, being unable to control his bladder. His mum would have changed his diaper, would have nursed him at her breast. So helpless, so mute, and yet so vocal. In John 7 and verse 46, it says, the Word, yet his Word spoke, didn't it? The Word unable to say a word. That's just one more of the five little paradoxes I've got here. Jesus was so earthly. You see, a baby being born in, this is Rome, was at the zenith of its power. Rome was where, you know, that was is what happened in Rome that mattered. That was where history was being made in Rome. It was the seat of imperial power. It was the seat that ruled all the known world. No one bothered about a little another baby, one of millions being born, a little baby being born in some backyard in Bethlehem. But this babe, Shigatabashan, this babe will change the world. This baby, no one was born like this baby. This baby was so earthly, and yet so heavenly. Heavenly. Don't you just love him? Why don't you just give the Lord a clap offering? Would you do that? Just say, what a mighty God we serve. You see, I want you to just know, if you know nothing else, this Christmas, it's not just about a sweet little sentimental story and when the children sing Away in a Manger, a tear running down your face. This was about God becoming one with us, coming closer than we could ever imagine. The second thing, a Christ who went further than we thought possible. You know, last Christmas I was reading in the newspapers that they said a lot of people are still at this Christmas paying for last Christmas. And so easily we get in debt. And as I thought about that, I thought, actually, you know, Jesus came, didn't he? To pay my price for my sin. Amen? And your sin. A little boy would, like his granddad, and that he would make a little boat in the shed with his granddad. And he spent all winter just building this little boat and making it so it would sail and putting a sail on the boat. And the great day of the launch came after spending all summer. He painted it beautifully and he wrote his name on the side of the boat and he went down to the river and he just set it in the river and the current was stronger than he thought and it went off. The boat just went out of sight and he tried to run and catch it and he had lost his precious boat that he had spent all winter building with his granddad. He was kind of heartbroken. And so that A few weeks later, he was walking through his little town, and there in the charity shop window, right in the middle, was his boat. And he went in and he said to the lady, "Hey lady, my granddad and I built that boat. Could we have it back?" And she said, "Well, son, I'm really sorry, but how do I know it's your boat?" But he said, "It is my boat." So she said, "Well, how much is it?" So he said, "Well," she said, "it's 20 pounds. It's such a beautiful boat." He said, "Well, I haven't got 20 pounds. He said, I've got 1 pound. He said, "Could I give you 1 pound and will you hold it for me?" And so what he did is he went all week and for the next month he would go in and he would do extra chores and he would earn a bit more money. And then after 10 weeks he went into the shop and he paid the last money and they gave him the boat. And he went home and he hugged his boat. And he said, "Now you belong to me twice. You see, I made you, but now I've brought you." Hallelujah. Do you know God made you? God knit you together in your mother's womb. And the Bible says he purchased you with his own blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you ever feel like you don't matter, that you're not important, that you're just a nobody person. Jesus bought you. He bought you with his blood. The most precious substance on earth. And he says, "I made you, and now I've bought you." And he went further. Who could have ever imagined that? Who could have imagined? Who could have imagined that the God of heaven and earth would so love you that he would come so close, he would become one of us? He shares our humanity. But he came even closer. He died for us. The innocent died for the guilty. There was no other good enough to take away my sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and bring us in. The last thing before I hand back to Pastor, let me just quickly say, God wants to use you more than you can ever imagine. God wants to use you. He might want to use you to maybe slow down when you're near someone who's a carer, looking after their child who has got Downs, or pushing a wheelchair, or caring for someone, and just be there. You know, most of Jesus' ministry was not in big churches or big conferences. It was just in the highways and the byways. It was just in the streets, just caring for people in the everyday. That's where God wants us to do our good. You see, we come to church on Sunday to be built up and strengthened and encouraged so that we can all go out and all week long we can just care for people and show the love of God. Amen? That's what we've to do. I loved Psalm 29, and the last verse says this. I hadn't got time to go to it, but it just says this. The Lord gives strength to his people and blesses his people with peace. God wants to strengthen you. He wants to empower you. See, this omnipotent God doesn't withhold all of his power to himself. He shares it with his people. He's not some kind of just a sovereign, who just, you know, massive, big person who says, kneel at my feet, you, and grovel before me. He doesn't do that. He's an empowering deity. He's not ashamed to call you brother. Hallelujah. He's not ashamed to say, "A piece of dirt like me, I just feel like I'm just a nobody." But he's not ashamed to say, "Nigel, you're my brother. Your family. You know, we belong to the best family in the universe, don't we? The family of God." Hallelujah. God is our Father. He has made us His sons and daughters. Jesus is our elder brother. He says, you belong in my family, and I want to empower you. I want to give you power so that when you go around in this wicked, sin-filled world, you can operate with a new spirit. You can have peace when everyone else is panicking. You can have endurance when everyone else is empty. You can have courage when everyone else is running scared. You know, the Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete. It's not a word we use very much. It's a Latin word, the Paraclete. You're not used to that. You're used to this, paramedic. Any paramedics here? They're the people that come alongside to heal you. The Holy Spirit does that. You've heard of a parasol, you posh ladies, when you walk in the sun. You have a parasol. And He's the parasol. He gives you shade. He wants to shade you from the fierce sun. Have you heard of this? A paratrooper. He fights for you. Hallelujah. A parachute. A parachute helps you to land softly so that you won't damage you. That prophetic word, you know, nothing evil will come to you because God is with us. Hallelujah. Listen, God wants to empower you. Listen, this Christmas, celebrate whatever else you have. Have a party, have fun, enjoy lots of food, have fun. But remember this, God is closer than you could ever imagine. God went further. He went to the cross to die for your sins. And God wants to empower you that you can live a victorious life and a life that's filled with loving, reaching out to others and the family and those you care for. Will you stand with me? We're going to say a prayer and then hand back to Pastor. Hallelujah. Just open your hearts to God right now. Suladaraba shikaladaba santarababa bakushadama silatabukundi. Hallelujah. 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 Lord Jesus, I just pray for these precious men and women in church this morning. I thank you for their love and devotion to Jesus. And Lord, I pray that your word will dwell in them richly. I pray, Lord, as they will ponder and reflect on this teaching, Lord, that it will strengthen them and empower them. And I pray today that they will know the living God living nearby their hearts and lives. Bless their homes this Christmas. Bless their families. Bless those that they're burdened for. Lord, fill them with love. Let the love of God be shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that wherever they go, they will be carriers of your grace, messengers of your love. Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, we pray for all of our Christmas services. We pray when the children event next week and the coming weeks. And that, Lord, we just pray as we invite our friends and families to come to church. Lord Jesus, we pray that salvation will come to this house and that people will come to know Jesus and be encouraged. Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and you the glory. And everybody said, amen. Let's just applaud the Lord. Can we do that? God's good.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Thank you for that word, Nigel. I really do appreciate that. I just want us to close our eyes just for a moment. I just want to give the opportunity to anybody here this morning. You don't know Jesus. You don't know the one who Nigel has been talking about. Or you may know of him, but you don't know him. But you want to. What it means is putting your trust in Him. And who better to put your trust in than the one who has created all things, the one who knows you inside out. And despite that, knowing your faults as well as your good points, loves you. So much He was willing to pay for your wrongs. That's the Jesus we're talking about. not just a baby in a manger, but the one who did something about our problem. And it's that Jesus that we're talking about. I want to give you an opportunity to know him this morning for yourself, to put your trust. If that's you, just give me a wave. Say, Glenn, I want Jesus. I want to know him like that. I want to know that Jesus. Not the picture I have in my head, but the real Jesus. If that's you, just give me a wave before we pray and conclude. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise for the Word of God, for the meal that we've had this morning. You have fed us, Lord. You've brought our attention back to you, Jesus. And for that, we want to thank you. Lord, we've been challenged, Lord, that you want to use us. And dear God, I pray that you'll give an anointing, a fresh anointing upon us, so that as we go out this week, as we go out from this place, that in this coming week, Lord, you will grant us those divine appointments. We won't have to work at it, but Lord, our eyes will be open, our ears will be open, so that we'll see and hear of the need, and Lord, we'll be able to respond, because we have the words of life. Hear our prayer this morning, dear Lord. And Father, lead us in your ways. You're the Alpha and Omega. We worship you. The glory.